We've come to him today, and I know we're saying, "You are Lord." We're going to confess it in the creed. We're saying it. We're praying for it, believing it. But it, practical speaking, if we're honest with ourselves, we act a little differently once we drive off the parking lot, don't we? I think I'll go to lunch where I want to go to lunch. I think I'll shop and buy what I want to shop and buy. I think I will spend my time the way I want to spend it. Now, you've heard me say similar things before. We don't always say that out loud. It sounds kind of self-centered. But whether we say it out loud doesn't really affect if we live that out loud, does it? That idea that we, especially as Christians here in North America, in the United States of America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, nobody's going to tell me what to do, right? We have that attitude. And I want you, as you heard today's readings, and for us to flex on and consider what it would mean for us to not take that kind of control throughout the day, throughout the week, come back here and try to recalibrate with Jesus. What might it be like for us if we were to take Jesus at his word here in the gospel and come to him, stop wearing ourselves out of trying to be in control, and maybe even answer this question, why do we think we're in control? I can't remember his name. It's Yule something, the guy that sold grape nuts on TV, the commercials years ago, eating all the healthy, healthy foods that he ate, and he died of stomach cancer. A football coach in my school who the closest he ever got to cigarettes was that he was literally the Marlboro man, you know, like they dressed him up as a cowboy and they took photos of him for advertising. That's the closest he ever got, was one sitting in his lips for an advertisement. He dies of lung cancer. Or as the scripture says, which of us, Jesus says, which of us by worrying, we think somehow, some way, we can do something to add a day to our lives. No. Do we really think we're in control? Yes, I know you pay your bills and your mortgage and your taxes. I know that we do all the things, but are we really in control? Do you and I have control over our health? You know, there's a degree to which we have some influence on it, but control? No. We all know people who have lived wonderful, healthy lives and had those lives have ended and shorter than others. And then there are people who have misused their bodies and somehow, some way, they make it into their 80s and 90s, and you just shake your head and go, how does that work? Are we really in control? And maybe, just maybe, we'd be willing to admit, we're not the general managers of the universe. I don't get to control it. I don't get to control any of you. I don't get to control my kids. I don't get to control pretty much anyone. Even my own dog will do his own thing when he wants to. We talked about him last week. I'm not going to go back there. But yet there's this invitation from God that if we could give up being the general manager of the universe, if we could give up wearing ourselves out and realize who's really in control, what an absolutely peaceful, free, and can I say truly happy life that we can have. Doesn't mean all problems go away. Doesn't mean we live in a bubble where we never experience any hardship. But we can have a peace that passes all understanding if we will give up control and take up this invitation that Jesus offers to us. I really think that rhythm is very important. If you see a little kid with this hand full of jelly beans and this hand full of chocolate chip cookies, and now you're about to offer them an ice cream sundae, guess what? They're going to have to give up something to put that ice cream sundae in their hands. And you and I may have our hands absolutely full of some wonderful things, some wonderful responsibilities, some wonderful blessings. But we also might have our hands full of a little bit of a misunderstanding that I'm really in control here. I get to do what I want to do. I'm the one that calls the shots in my family or in this church or in this town or whatever, however it might be. I just wonder if you've ever felt stressed before, You ever felt where Jesus talked about all you who are weary and burdened? You ever felt like that? Odds are, when you and I are feeling that kind of weariness, it's because we're trying to be the general manager of the universe, even just our little corner of it, versus we depend on Him. I have a saying, I've said it before, I've acted this way before, at work, in church, and elsewhere. If it's to be, it's up to me. Thought somehow, some way, that if I could just exert enough effort, exert enough control, make things go the way they should go, everything would be great. And most of the time I've ever tried to do that are when I've ended up more stressed, more weary, more burdened than I've ever been before. Does that ring true for you? You know, let's just take your backyard. How many of us, we put out pre-emergent things to kill all of our weeds 2 or 3 weeks ago, and they're back, aren't they? We don't get to control nature. We don't get to control a whole lot of things. So can we give up this, and can we hear this wonderful invitation? Our greater need to control, you know, this idea of give up stress, is to realize that Jesus has a different plan. I love how James put it in the epistle. I'm going to save the gospel here for a minute. How James put it, submit yourselves then to God. It's his way of saying, let God be in control. Let God be the one who we are letting him call the shots. That we take up the prayer of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, Father, but yours be done. We take that up not just in times of stress, but we take that up as our everyday, regular, just like brushing your teeth, starting your car, and all those other things that we do. We take it up as our everyday way of living. Or as the book of Proverbs put it, that our reading from that, we let love and faithfulness not leave us. We trust in the Lord with all of our heart, not just on Sundays. We lean on Him and all of our understanding. We lean on His ways. In all our ways, we submit to or lean on Him. And He makes the path clear. He makes it lay out. It's not always smooth and perfect. But boy, it's a whole lot better walking that path with God in control than us trying to be in control, isn't it? If you've ever kind of tried to, I use this illustration once in a while of trying to train someone in driving. I have to go back and be honest about when I was getting my driver's lessons, because I didn't know they made cars with an extra brake pedal in them back until I went to do driver's ed, and I didn't realize how important that was until I saw my instructor go to stop me from running into the back of a garbage truck. It was kind of nice having someone else be in control in that moment to help. And sometimes God will even be so loving and so in control, He might bring a little bit of hardship into our life to wake us up, to save us from a much bigger hardship, a much bigger difficulty, a much bigger loss. Submit yourselves then to God. Come near to Him, and He will come near to you. What a wonderful invitation. When we get close enough to hear, you know, sometimes you've probably been in a workplace like this, or maybe in your home, someone's in another room, they're shouting instructions of what to do. You ever had that happen? And I don't know, it's kind of interesting. In our house, maybe as I've gotten older, I hear differently. And I thought I heard her say, put on the tea kettle for 2 o'clock. And what she said was, you know, I'm not even going to go into what she really said. I couldn't hear that well. And for us to let God, you know, really hear Him, we have to come near. We have to listen. Come near to His Word and let Him speak to us. Come near and let Jesus and His Word be real to us. Jesus has a different plan. And His plan was not that we would only come when we were in trouble, or only come when we're at the end of life, so that we would, we'd make sure our eternity is all taken care of. Jesus' plan is that we would lay down our illusion of being in control. We would give it up. And we instead take up this wonderful invitation to understand this yoke. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Rest from striving. Rest from hiding our sins. Rest from all the ways we try to justify ourselves or work out our own salvation all on our own by works. Take that on and take my yoke upon you. Now, most of us probably didn't grow up in a farm, so we may not really realize what a yoke is. But if I can try to describe it as a piece of wood or metal covered with leather, a bar going across to bring together two animals or more to do something together. Two oxen working together, two horses working together, with yoked together to do more together than they could do by themselves. That's what Jesus is inviting. When he's saying, take my yoke upon you, he's not saying, here, bear the whole responsibility of your life for the whole rest of your life. You've got it all on your own. Oh, you got to follow all the commandments too, by the way. Never lie, never cheat, never, you know, that's not what he's doing. Martin Luther years ago said that this yoke that Jesus said when he says, take my yoke, he means join me in a life of submission. Join me. Join me who said to the Father, not my will, but yours be done. Join me who came not by my own agenda, but by his to seek and to save the lost. Join me in walking together in the true way of life, the true way of light, the true way of freedom. Martin Luther went on to say that when we are in this yoke together, it's not as if we're equal. It's more like an ox working together with a flea. And you and I think, ought to know who the flea is in that illustration, right? Jesus is the ox. Jesus is the one who does the majority of the work. Jesus is the one who does all of the work of salvation. And he's the one that does the work then of even encouragement. Come on, you can do it. If you've ever helped a three-year-old or a four-year-old to get them to help you set the table, you know that most of the time you're doing all of the work, aren't you? You're carrying the plate, and then they're just putting the one out there. And telling them, this is how you do the four. This is what we're talking about. You and I, as children of God, learning and letting Jesus lead the way, letting him bear the most important part of the burden. This yoke that he's inviting us to learn from me. Learn that when we're in pain, we don't turn away and hide. Learn that when we're struggling or uncertain, we don't just, you know, do the next thing that looks right there in front of us. Keep busy. There are times when we actually stop. We can actually find greater rest taking his yoke upon us than we will ever do trying to do life on our own. Now, him the ox, we the flea. But if I'm going to give up control, if I'm going to say, yeah, okay, I have an alarm that sets to wake me up at 5:45 in the morning, but really, Lord, it's to your rhythm that I will move this day. If I'm going to do that, do I really trust him? Can I trust that Jesus is this person who will give me rest for his souls? Can I trust his yoke really? Will it be easier than it would be doing it on my own? I would say, yes, we can. Yes, because he is the one who gave up control. He was a co-creator of this whole universe. He was with the Father in the beautiful orchestration of putting out the stars and all of the supernovas and everything else that exists in the universe. He was a part of creating and designing all of the animals and everything else there was. The two strands of DNA, the Father, the Son, and then the little connectors, the Holy Spirit, all connecting together. And Jesus said, you know what, Father? I don't have to keep being in control. You have this plan. We've worked at it together. A plan to bring back the ones that we love who have been acting outside of our control, to bring them back. I'll go and I'll be under your agenda. I'll go and I'll be under your control, Father. I will go. And even in the Garden of Gethsemane, bleeding bloody sweat and stressed and knowing that death is what I'm facing, I will go and say and live. Not my will, but yours be done. I think you and I can trust that, Jesus, can't we? The one who conquered over our sins on the cross, the one who conquered over death by rising again from the tomb, the one who said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and therefore I want you to go, but as you go, know I am with you every single step. We're still learning, aren't we? No matter how old we are, still learning that we can adjust the tone of how we say something. We can roll our eyes a little bit less than we do with someone when we're exasperated. We're still learning from Jesus, this gentle one and humble of heart, who will not bowl his way into our lives, but who will gently say, come to me. Let me show you how. Let me show you today. Let me show you in the small things and in the big things. Come to me. Wouldn't it be amazing to discover, instead of me being in control or you being in control, that when we let Jesus be in control, we actually got freer and less burdened than we've ever been before? That we decide to say, yes, Jesus, you're going to be my co-pilot. And more than that, you're going to be the one that, you know, like the song says, Jesus, take the wheel. Not my will, but yours be done. And the freedom we will have, the lifting of burdens we will have, where we're doing all this together in a yoke with Jesus. Not by ourselves, not with a finger over us, but by a Savior beside us. When we let Jesus be in control, the freedom and peace that will be there will pass all understanding. That's what I truly believe James was trying to get at when he said that if it's the Lord's will, we'll do this and that. We take that attitude of not, I know what I'm going to do this year and next year and the next 5 years and everything else. No, you're in control, Jesus. We can say that as a human. We can say that as a family. We can say that as a church family. We can say that as the people of God around the world. Jesus, we let you take the wheel. Jesus, we take up your yoke. We will follow and learn your ways. May we listen. May we soak in his love. May we discover we can never be as free as when Jesus is in control. Amen.